give a huge round of applause to your hosts for the High Anxiety Variety Show, Cameron Betts and Corey Barringer. Give it up for them, everybody.
Give it up.
And professional comedian Christian Amaral.
Yes.
Oh, man, we're trying to talk about hope, and I don't know. I feel like I'm full of hope, but I'm also nervous. I feel like my shoes are filling with blood. I feel afraid.
Shoes are filling. Does your blood usually go low when you're afraid? Does it like sink? Is that a thing?
I was really thinking about this earlier, about like actually talking about like having a show kind of vaguely themed around hope and all these things, and like I don't know if I have a very defeatist sense of hope. Like my hope is very couched in
That was before this show started, though, to be fair.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's not new, but it's just it's very much safeguarded by like, yeah, I'm really hopeful about things that probably won't, you know. Like I always qualify with like, yeah, it'll be, I mean, it's not gonna happen, but like if it did, like I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't think that's hope. I don't think you're describing hope.
Is that not?
I think you're describing possibility, which is a little different than hope.
I've given you all I got here.
That's enough.
Who's that?
I think The Edge.
Not the other person on their phone.
Everybody else is politely texting.
You're wonderful. I'm just giving you crap. You're wonderful. Several hours ago, I got a haircut. I got a haircut.
Clap it up for that.
You don't have to. That wasn't like intended to be an applause break.
You wanted an applause break for getting a haircut.
Take them while you can.
I got a haircut, and I don't like getting haircuts. Like, I don't like getting haircuts at places where there's like a human interaction. Like, let me ask you guys. When you get a haircut like at a place, say Supercuts, if you're like me.
Now I'm with you.
Do you feel compelled to smile?
I would say the worst part, I guess I do feel compelled to smile, to be friendly.
Like during. Like I just mean like as...
Like at your reflection? Just like...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like as you're watching the hair go away, do you feel compelled to like have kind of a placid grin?
Yes, as opposed to the blank stare in the mirror, yeah.
Because I caught myself doing the blank stare and I was like, that's a sociopath.
Yeah.
I am looking at a sociopath getting his hair cut.
No, a sociopath is highly aware of how everybody's interpreting their emotions at all times.
Yeah, no, I'm a sociopath with his guard down.
Oh.
Yeah, like where it's just like, this is what a human does kind of thing. And so I kept having like this little grin start to happen where I was like, I don't want her to think that I'm a creep.
But then, which is even worse, because if she's not doing a good job, then she's like, this dude loves his haircut.
Yeah, no, if you come in and out of grins, that's the creepiest. Like, that means something's happening that's making you enjoy it in a different way.
But then the very nice lady who was cutting my hair kind of made me a little uncomfortable. Because
she grinning too?
No,
she
was grinning. She wasn't grinning at all. She was very just kind of, I won't go as far as say morose. She just looked like the day had been long and she was just done. You know, I think I was like maybe like one of her last clients for the day. And so she did the thing that you got to do where you're making small talk and you just ask like, so any plans for the evening? And normally I lie. I just always lie.
And say no.
I just say, no, I'm just running some errands and I'm just going to have a nice night in. But for this given moment, for whatever reason, I did what I normally don't do. I like said, I'm going to go do a show. Like I host a show with my friends. We do like a live podcast. It's like a variety show, which I normally don't do because I don't like talking about what I do. Like it's uncomfortable. But then, so she feigns interest. She's like, she says, oh, okay. This is as she's like cutting my hair. And then she says, so is that like your dream or something? And she couldn't have sounded more bored.
That is so funny.
By the notion that that could be my dream. Which is weird because it's like, if you think that that's a boring thing, like, why even ask? You could have just gone, oh, neat. But instead, you're like, so is that your dream or something?
You should ask anytime she brings up cutting hair. You should ask the same exact thing.
Is that your dream? Are you living it?
I was listening to an interview with somebody who does like bondage work, like BDSM and stuff. It was this woman who's like of the dominating, and she was talking very openly. Like somebody finally asked the question of just like, so like, do you ever have like boring days on the job of just like that exact thing where it's like 4:45 and you're just ready to go and yeah. like you're trying, but like at the same time, like it's this highly complicated like series of whips and pulleys.
Oh, I'm sure.
And like at the end of the year, just
if it's anything like my clients,
that job
that is exactly what it's like.
But the level of feigned enthusiasm that we have to go yeah. through in our jobs can't possibly compare to something like that. Like I just take a lot of solace that I'm not.
That's true. It's a lot of effort to do the customer service face mm-hmm. when you have an easy job. Imagine if you had to like tie somebody up and be real enthusiastic about it.
Is enthusiasm usually a factor, though? I feel like it's usually the lack thereof, of just like, this means nothing to me. You are garbage. I'm maybe getting a little yeah. turned on.
Maybe it's the ego.
That's true.
Oh, man, it's like the dream.
Say something mean to me.
I don't want to play with
right now.
No, I can't do that.
You son of a bitch.
I didn't notice you got a haircut.
You didn't?
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit?
You wasted your money.
I wasted $20, including tip. Yep. They recently upped
That's
the price
bad.
At Supercuts. You guys know that? Trump.
You missed, because we had that little dinner the other night, which I invited you to. You couldn't come, no worries. But you missed me saying candidly, without much aforethought, about you. I was like, oh, he's like the better version of me. Is how I...
Oh, that's a bummer.
No, you missed it. That's the bummer.
I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. I feel like I could do better as the better version of something. Like, if I was the better version of him... Kudos.
Go on.
Kudos. But I don't think I am. Yeah. I don't think I am.
You're very different.
Yeah, you know.
I'd be honored to be a worse version of you, honestly.
It's a feel-good show.
It is.
We get into bondage. Yeah. We get into compliments. Mm-hmm. Well, elephant in the room. It's kind of a gray elephant. There's a lot of older people here tonight than what we usually have. I think it's cool. Loud and that's
good.
That's a phrase usually attributed to the
very meticulously went through every single one and sort of analyzed them. And so he came to me and he was like, what is this? This is a big fuck you letter to me and your mom. You know, you got to explain yourself. And my rebuttal to, oh, well, that's just a song. Don't take it too seriously, is that I had also written a song about me having sex. And he was like, fair point. Of course these are fake. Of course these aren't real.
That's so great. Yeah. Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Should open the show with that story.
No, I think it served better as a closer, and we can just move smoothly.
Well, the thing is, you open with Trump jokes, and people can't possibly tell which side you're on when they're looking at you.
Very true. I am the epitome.
Is he trying to bait us into something?
I look like, who's the Nazi?
You got to be more specific.
I look like his press secretary, basically.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is going to be a really, really fun show, you guys. It's going to be a mix of a bunch of different stuff. I thank you from the bottom of my heart already for being here, because this show means
Seriously.
A whole heck of a lot to us. Please make it really loud for your first act. Deep Pools. Let's
Deep Pools, everybody!
Couple days ago that smiling is really scary when you're sad, because nothing shows your sadness quite like a smile. Like if you just stay looking serious, then a smile people won't know how sad you are. But if you try to smile and you can't, that's the sad stuff. My intention with my music is not to skirt over the sadness or skirt over the tough stuff, but to dive right in. And in my eyes, any contentment, any peace, any happiness that's worth having can exist in the face of the ugliness. So here's a tune that takes a look at some ugliness that I'm sure you're all familiar with. Sex. Tell them they can't have it. Sell them it's the best. Now I don't care how stupid we can be. I still believe in the goodness of the human being. Dumpsters, yeah, that'll keep it down. We need clean water, yeah, we're all praying for rain. Then we piss and shit in it, and then we flush it down the drain. But I don't care how stupid we can be. I still believe in the goodness of the human being. I'm the only. Can't stop laughing once we get started. Making beauty just to make beauty. And need I even mention how we shake our booties when we get together to celebrate this life? Making food, making music, dancing, making love all night. Everybody. It's been a while since I've been at the Naked Lounge. Although I've played here many, many times. I grew up in Sacramento. I've been living in Oakland lately and been spending a lot of time on the road. Just got back from the Pacific Northwest, and I'm really glad to not be slipping around on ice right now. This song is me singing to the two halves of myself, giving some sage advice. I left a really sweet home. Some of you might have been to shows at the House of Milk and Honey. Disbanded a really sweet house to follow my dreams a little bit more fully. And the song speaks to that. It also has wolves, so I think you're gonna like it. Your job, my son, is to follow the music wherever it goes. You gotta run when the wolves of stagnation start wearing your favorite clothes. No home isn't a place anymore. It's the tears in your eyes when you wake up to this life. Home isn't safe anymore. This life will rip you to bits to get to the truth that's inside. The only stillness in this world comes when you give in to the spin and get taken by the tides. Get taken by the tides. Your job, my daughter, is to go down to the water. Let go of the burdens that could drag you to the bottom. Strip down to the bare you, let the cold air cherish you. Offer up to the night sky this body that carries you. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Through every little thing that you do. Anymore. It's the tears in your eyes when you wake up to this life. Home isn't safe anymore. This life will rip you to bits to get to the truth that's inside. The only stillness in this world comes when you give in to the spin and get taken by the tide. Get taken by the tides. Get taken by the tides. All right, I'm gonna play a real quick song because I never have a good opportunity to play it. But in my eyes, it's one of the funnier songs I've ever written. It's also one of the least appropriate for most crowds in America. Actually, that's not true. I've got some other songs that are a lot more challenging to general American audiences that deal with race and death and stuff. But this one's just some good old-fashioned blasphemy. Crazy to think you've had a bigger impact in your life, and I said, impact, oh no, 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 I'll give him that, and I'll give him bravery too. I'll give him kindness and selflessness, oh God, I can be such a dick, but specialness, no can do, cause of how I feel when I dance. Cause of the way I feel when I move, I am a child of God. So I can feel God whenever I want. Come on, dance with me, Jesus.
That's it.
All right, Corey, you gonna come yak at me? All right, Corey, you gonna come yak at me? Kind of feel like I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah. About Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. When did you write that song? How old were you?
That was about 3 years ago.
Okay, so fairly new. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The question was posed around the time.
Gotcha.
Same time.
I'm curious. Were you raised in the church at all?
Yeah, I went to St. Francis, Roman Catholic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the heavy stuff. Did you go through the whole bit and everything like that?
No, I got to First Communion and then started getting weirded out.
Yeah. Specifically, what was weirding you?
Well, I had discovered masturbation, and I was like, eh.
With that, you discovered guilt, or yeah. or at least a perceived guilt.
Yeah.
Attempted guilt, if
right,
you will.
Right, and I was like, yeah, this is clearly a lot more sacred to me.
Yeah. I was actually just talking about this the other day, with my girlfriend, actually. Like, I never had a sense of shame wrapped up in pleasure. Like in self-pleasure. Did you ever have any, like, not even so much religiously, did you ever feel like that was something to have shame wrapped up in?
Oh, yeah. And I feel like it was more genetic than, like, the church I went to was pretty casual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a lesbian nun and things were cool.
I've read that book.
Yeah, yeah.
I've read that one. It's a good one.
But, no, I think it was just, I mean, yeah, Irish Catholic blood.
Yeah.
I learned how to be guilty very early on for all sorts of things.
Yeah, I was raised basically like a Pentecostal, sort of. So it was like a step kind of below, like, the holy rollers. So, I mean, it was pretty holy rolling, but, like, speaking in tongues and stuff. We didn't have as much guilt as we had this, like, bombastic congratulatory sense of our own faith. Because we were the good guys. It was like that kind of thing. So I never really had the guilt wrapped up in that. Do you feel, well, I mean, actually, I feel like I kind of answered that question in my head first, but I know that there was a shift from Cove to what you're doing now. I was going to phrase it a little different of like, do you feel there was, I know there was a shift.
Yeah.
Could you kind of speak on that shift? Because from a audience perspective, if anyone saw your previous band, Cove, which was incredible, by the way. They were an amazing... That was how I met them. We were doing a show together with Broken Voice Club at the house that you were in before, I believe. House of... Five Rivers House, yeah. And it just blew me away. But what I was saying is, like, from an audience perspective, it'd be easy to assume that that was basically just a moniker that you applied to your music in the first place, even though it really was a band.
Yeah.
So kind of walk me through your thought process of, like, deciding to take that step forward away from a band situation.
Yeah. Well, I had an album that was gestating in me, and it was in honor of my father, who died of stomach cancer. And we had played some of those songs as Cove, and it became really clear to me that I was getting pulled in musical directions that wouldn't be fair for me to drag anybody else along for. I really like creating musical situations where people get to do what they do and do their thing. And it was really clear to me that I needed full access to every sound in the universe, and that it needed to come down to just me and the music. And it didn't feel fair to take a project from a more like egalitarian, everybody has a say in things, mm-hmm. Structure to that. It felt more appropriate to kind of let that die and then start anew as this other project. And in hindsight, it makes perfect sense to me because the record finished with, I think, 22 different musicians on it. And
it was very collaborative.
Yeah, and it went places that a group wouldn't have gone. The same way that, you know, Cove went places that I would have never gone that I am so glad I went.
Yeah. Do you think that you would ever be in a band again? Like something like
that? Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously no one would ever take, you know, closed doors, but is that something you're actively kind of thinking would happen sooner rather than later?
I think at this point, I mean, yes, whether that would be a band playing, you know, these Deep Pool songs, I don't know. That would basically mean somebody coming on board and saying, hey, I am willing to follow you and the music where it goes. The thing that tripped me out about making the shift was that I actually feel like I get to give people more creative expression and freedom inside of Deep Pools and inside of Cove, because mm-hmm. Cove needed to be my everything. And so if I had, you know, some groove coming up in me, I needed to take, you know, my bandmates and try to express that. So there was a lot of just like demand on the people.
Yeah, you're imposing another style, basically.
Right. Whereas now it's like, ooh, I want you because you do that thing.
Yeah.
Come do your thing and you come do your thing. And then people get to, you know, express it more fully. But I love bands.
Yeah. It's a wonderful sense being part of a team.
Yeah.
I like totally. That a lot.
Yeah.
This has been wonderful. I'm going to end on like what could be potentially a very short and boring technical question, because it was something that I immediately wanted to ask you as soon as I saw the cover of your album when you put it out like online, because I know that piece of art.
Yeah.
Know it quite well.
Yeah.
How, like, was there a process of like getting permission for that? Like,
great question.
Because that was the first thing I saw. Because that is,
and you couldn't have thought to ask me this in private before asking me on stage in front of a whole bunch of people.
Anybody
a lawyer here? Okay,
that was what I was thinking might be a possibility.
Okay, so here's what we got. I knew from the first like kind of inception of the record.
We can cut this out, by the way.
No, this is great.
Because we can cut this out.
This is good. That would be more incriminating than just telling the truth, which is actually fine. I knew that I wanted that painting because I saw it. And for those who don't know, it's Stephen Kaltenbach's Portrait of My Father, which hangs at the Crocker.
It's phenomenal.
It's breathtaking.
It's one of the most moving pieces you will stand in front of.
Yes.
Like, I'll just say that.
Totally.
It's incredible.
So I saw that, and I, beyond having my own cathartic experience with it and just sobbing in front of it and feeling what he was going for there.
Because it's so relevant
right. To
what was going on.
So for me, I saw that and I was like, that is what I'm trying to do with sound. In that painting, it's 15 feet wide and every single hair, he's capturing his father's last breath. And every single hair has like a whole universe going on inside of it. And the meaning of the painting, I feel like, is reflected in, you know, 1 square foot and also in its entirety. Mm-hmm. And I knew that with this record, I wanted to do the same thing with sound. And I ended up spending more time on the microscopic sounds, which is a ridiculous endeavor in a day and age where people are going to listen to it through their, you know, laptops anyways. But I made it so that if somebody wants to lay down and listen on headphones, that they won't arrive at the pixels, if you know what I mean by that.
No,
they
exactly.
won't ever hit a place where they're like, oh, and then he gave up right here. Mm-hmm. I wanted to find out how much meaning I could embed into the tiniest sound. So anyways, I started asking around. I emailed him, didn't get a response. I called up the Crocker. They said, actually, we don't own that piece. That's on loan from the artist. So you got to get a hold of him. I emailed him again, and I was getting nowhere. And so I finally started asking around. One friend had a lead. I asked them to ask him. Nothing came of that. And it was getting down to crunch time, and my mom finally asked me, she was like, hey, do you know what you're doing for the album artwork? I didn't talk to her about it at all. And I go, yeah, I want to use a portrait of my father. And she goes, oh, Steven's painting?
No way.
And I was like, what? And she was like, oh, yeah, he was a good friend of your dad's and mine. I used to do body work on him for about 15 years. And she just went on and on. She goes, he's one of the most generous, loving individuals I've ever met. And I just got chills. And it was like, and she goes, you know who knows him really well is Deirdre. And Deirdre is a family friend who I sang with at my dad's funeral. So the connections were just like all there. And so I asked her to get a hold of him. And she's tried a few times. I know he's having some major health stuff going on right now. And one way or another, I haven't been able to get direct communication with him, but I've gotten from that family friend the, like, you know, he understands, if anybody understands, you know, that the art is what matters here, and that this, you're not going to go getting a call from, you know,
yeah,
angry mm-hmm. Steven about the painting, that he's an art first kind of person. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you told us that.
Yeah.
This is only a $5 show. just chew on that. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm going to let you play out a few more songs. I'm so happy you did this show. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thanks for asking me. This is what I'm doing. Should I ditch it or just finish? A friend would help, I know, but fuck the phone. I'm always straining to hear you through the static, then you cut. At least in person, I can see it in your face when you don't hear me. I'm seeing lovers as distraction. I'm seeing how drinking slows us down. I'm alone, but I'm feeling overcrowded now. Just shut up until I finish this song. Like I do, though, you know you've got no clue what I'm saying. And then that silence, it is not the kind, that shit is cancerous. Forget convention, I am too sick not to purge myself right here. The slugs are nourished by the same thing that inside you was so toxic. So praise the flies and worms, 'cause we don't wanna deal with rotting carcass.
I'm squatting in this pit to ditch this holy shit. And I'm thinking of my dad and all his suffering. The worse the pain, the more vibrant, the more intimate. I lean back and the damp earth touches my skin. As a kid, he picked a banana slug, put it on his bare stomach right in front of us. We went wild and we laughed until we cried. Now I am laughing too, cause I'm sure I will someday die. So I reach and grab a dirt-covered yellow slug, and with hot tears in my eyes, I lift my shirt up, put it on my belly button where my life began. And I breathe in, but I'm not the only thing breathing.
Thanks, guys. On with the music, on with the show.
Thank you so much, Scott. Deep pools, everybody.
What's cracking, Naked Lounge? Y'all ready to get naked? For Naked Lounge. More like Fully Clothed Lounge. It's a lot of fun, that is. Speaking of naked, I got off work today, and when I got home, it was empty. So I did the only thing you can do. I got naked and I lounged. And once that got boring, I started dancing. And I thought I would give ABBA's Gold album a whirl. Yeah. Let me tell you, it is a B-E-A-U-T full compilation of songs. Oh, don't tighten up on me. I thought we had some chemistry. There will be puns throughout my set periodically. So you think if Vanilla Ice had a baby and that baby ran away and joined ISIS, it'd be an ice baby, right? Am I right or am I right? Now that the ice has been broken. When I was 12 years old, my parents bought a computer and they decided that my room was the best room for the computer. And it was really crazy because I grew up without a TV. No computer, so I was getting to see all these things that I'd heard about but never seen. You know, like MySpace and Facebook, interracial gangbangs, and YouTube. How could I forget YouTube? It was it was cool. Until I realized that my room had become the jerk-off station of the house. What? That one hits you like a brick. I was walking into my bedroom and I wheel for the door handle and it, you know, it's weird when it starts to open and me and my dad were faces. He was attaching his bathrobe and he was like, whoa. And I was like, no, no. And he was like, I was just checking Facebook. I'm like, no, you fucking weren't. This is not how this goes. You're supposed to catch me. Yeah, I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to sleep in the same room your dad jerks off in, but it's overrated as fuck. I can't really complain though. It was actually a pretty good time in my life. I jerked off so much that my dick curved to the right, So I switched to my left hand to try to fix it, and now my penis is shaped like an S. It's okay, though. I've noticed when girls are given the choice between a straight straw and a squiggly straw, they go for that squiggly straw. Am I right, ladies? Squiggly straws all around. Here at the Naked Lounge. Found out the girls masturbate recently. I was like, what? What do they fantasize about? Like, does it start with a nice dinner? Yeah, a female orgasm is a lot like a BA degree. Like, it's attainable, right? Through hard work and dedication. However, achieving one does not guarantee full-time employment. So I'm getting a divorce. It's what happens when you get married. Don't tighten up on me. Yeah, it's really just a breakup with paperwork. You gotta divide half your stuff. That's the weirdest part. I said to my wife, listen, honey, you can have everything I own if you leave the vagina. She said, go fuck yourself. I said, I can't marry you twice. Yeah, female orgasm is not what was occurring now. Marriage is a lot like a waterfall. It's pretty to look at, but when you're in one, you're drowning. My ex-wife's a lot like a homeless person. All she ever does is ask me for change. And then when I give her some change, she just looks at me like, more would be better. Like, I know. Yeah, so I've been dating, which is no fun. I don't even buy one person food, now I gotta be two people food? That was crazy. Yeah, it's kind of a trip. I'm afraid of girls. they're pretty scary. Yeah. Like, because I just, if the girl, I think a girl's pretty, like, I just agree with her. You can say anything, I'm like, that is the most true thing I've ever heard. Just like, I told you at the time, like, you did it like a genius. Like, the other day, this pretty girl was like, color's all made up. Color's all in her head. And instead of saying something like, oh yeah, then how did Neo know which pill to take? I was just like, yeah, no, definitely. Color is just a pigment of our imagination. Yeah. You're right, thank you. Yeah. Getting cheated on is like finding out that your favorite flavor of Haagen-Dazs is made with another dude's cum. It's a bummer. The worst part is just because you found out one of the ingredients, it's still ice cream. And you keep eating it. But then pretty soon, like, everything starts to melt. And then your friends start eating it. What? Well, besides that joke, the main reason me and my wife split up is she said I like to play with my balls too much. And I'm like, what is too much? It's always a good time to play with the balls. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, God is right. Juggling is my first line of birth control. You know, you're hard to get a girl pregnant while you're juggling.
It's also my favorite drug. Mostly because it goes so well with other drugs. Like, I'm not a fan of cocaine, but it's pretty good with some juggling. I'll be real with you. I would almost go so far to say that I like juggling more than I like sex. Because I've never felt ashamed when I finish juggling. All right. That's going to be my time, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Thank you very much.
Please, again, Caleb Duffy, everybody. I like how he really utilizes the audio medium that is a podcast to juggle. All right, let's keep this going. Very dear friend of mine, a hilarious man, Mr. Alfonso Portello.
Keep it going for Corey, everybody. For Corey, and for Caleb, and for Scott, and for Cameron, and for Christian. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is nice. There's a lot of good vibes in here. I like Scott a lot. Scott's a good soul, and he called me a good soul, and it made me feel good. So thank you, Scott, very much for calling me a good soul. I've killed a man. I have killed a man, and I think that's why he called me a good soul also. I think he's into that. I think he's... Scott's killed a man, too. We both killed a man, both of us together. Put that on the record. Me, Alfonso Portella, and Scott Farriter double killed a dude. We double killed him. We resuscitated him, killed him again. We did it. Just because we enjoyed it. Just because we wanted to see him die one more time. And sometimes I wonder if even that was enough. You know? I think that every single morning. Every morning. This is a nice place to be. I live across the street from a bar, and it's not a very nice bar. It's one of those bars, it's not really my crowd, one of those bars where some of the shittiest people on earth go. And I don't know if any of you have lived across the street from a bar where any of the shittiest people on earth happen to go. But if not, you are missing out, because at 2 a.m, when the bar gets out, you are treated to the soothing sounds of the shittiest people on earth at their maximum shittitude. I was trying to go to bed at 2:30 a.m, and there was a guy from this bar right outside my window yelling, "Jessica! Jessica! Hey, Jessica! 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 Hey, Jessica! Jessica! Jess! 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 Jessica! Jessica! Jennifer! 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 I'm sorry, Jennifer! Jennifer, why are you mad? Why are you mad? We're not married yet. I love you. Jessifer! Jessifer! Every night of my life, some say he's still yelling to this day. Legend has it. I can handle it, though. I'm a young man, young people. Yeah, a lot of sad old faces. Yeah, a lot of sad old people here. It's fine. I'm a young man, but there are some signs of aging that are happening sooner than I thought they were going to. Like my hair is thinning. I'm getting some lines in my face. My hips squeak when I fuck. Like, little things are happening to me. Little things. And, like, this stuff shouldn't bother me because aging is normal. Everyone ages. But the thing is, I have really young parents, and they're aging incredibly well. And so now we look like the same age, but they look better than me. Like, I took my mom out for lunch, and one of her friends was at the restaurant, and her friend goes, "Oh my God, Maria, is that your new boyfriend?" My mom goes, no, I could do way better. Are you kidding me? No, that's Ugly Son. We call him Ugly Son. He takes after our dog. It's Ugly Son. Let him smell your hand before he talks to you. He's gross. He's Ugly Son. I don't want to spend the whole time that I'm up here talking shit about my mom or anything like that. Like, that's not cool, you know? Because, like, I wouldn't be able to be here and live the life that I live if it weren't for her and sacrifices that she made for me. Like, just a quick shout out to my mom. Like, my mom came to this country with $2 to her name and a baby strapped to her back. And she worked hard. Like, she scrubbed floors and she washed dishes. And she sold that baby to make a better life for herself and her second baby. It's like, who wouldn't want a mom like that? Like, who wouldn't want that except for that first baby? Who wouldn't want a mom like that? She fathered 8 kids, and I'm one of them. And I have a brother who lives in San Francisco, and he's super cool. He's a super cool fucking model. He's super fucking cool. Like, he's real, real cool city model fucking guy. And we were walking around in the city, and I was feeling really hungry, and I was like, "Hey, Sergio," his name is fucking Sergio. And I was like, "Hey, Sergio, is there a Chipotle around here anywhere?" And he goes, "Whoa, bro, whoa, whoa. Really, bro? Really, man? Really? Chipotle? Really, bro? Chipotle? Like, we're in the Mission in San Francisco, California, bro. The best taqueria's around the corner. We'll go there." And I was like, "Great. Do they know where the Chipotle is? Because that's what I'm craving, is Chipotle." And he goes, "You don't get it, bro. You don't get it. Would you go to Italy and ask for an Olive Garden?" I was like, "No, but I'd go to Italy and ask for a Chipotle if that's what I was craving, like I'm craving right now. I want Chipotle." And then he became an asshole. He's like, "Well, where's your Mexican pride, Alfonso? Where's your pride, Alfonso?" Which, like, pissed me off because, like, he doesn't speak Spanish either. So I'm like, "Why are you saying my name like that? Alfonso, in your corazón, look for it. Alfonso, dig deep. Está loco, Alfonso." Logo. And I got pissed because I have a lot of Mexican pride. Like, there are some moments where I feel so full of Mexican pride, I feel like I am going to cry. And I feel these moments the most when I'm at Chipotle. Because there's nothing like being a Latino man who gets to walk into this magical restaurant. And me, a Latino man whose family just came from nothing, I get to watch a college-age white girl struggle to wrap my burrito. Struggle to wrap it. Well, I look her in the eyes, I'm like, "Yeah, do you get my people struggle now? Do you get it? Do you get my people went through? Do you get it? Do you get it, Claire? Do you get it?" And the guy frying the chicken in the back who looks like me is like, "She doesn't get it. She doesn't get it. I am free." And he flies away, catches a snake in his feet, and lands on a cactus. That's how much pride I have, Sergio. Sergio. Oh. I write in cursive. Anyone else write in cursive here? Yeah, cursive people. Yeah. All right. It sucks because it's the only way I know how to write. They don't really teach it in schools that much anymore, you know, and kids don't care about it. I'm just scared. I'm scared because, like, 40 years from now, when I kill myself because I can't handle the fame, they're going to find my body. And they're going to be like, "Did you hear? Did you hear Alfonso Portella hung himself and left behind a copy of the Constitution?" Like, we didn't know he was so political. We had no idea. And I can't let that happen. You know, I've been trying to let my hand, like, you know, work on my handwriting and make it really legible. And I thought, okay, what do you need the most work on? My L's. And so I sat down last Saturday at my desk and I thought, okay, I'm going to work on my L's. Words that start with L. Here we go. Sat down at my desk, lit my candle, had my quill and my skull. And I was like, okay. Love. 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 Lack. 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 Lack of love. Lonely. Lonely. Lonely, lonely loser. Loser. Lonely, lonely loser. Lard ass. Lard ass, lonely loser. Lard ass love handles. You got them. Love handles. You got them. Labia. Never seen one. Labia. Never seen one. Gonna die alone. Gonna die alone. We the people of the United States are trying to. My girlfriend actually calls my penis a super burrito. Yeah, because I always have to finish it for her. So I'm like, why? Why is that? No? I like a crowd that hates a setup punch. I like that. I like a crowd that hates awesome jokes. That's what I love. Are crowds that hate fantastically written, no fat on them jokes. People in the corner. Oh, you thought you could hide behind this speaker, but no. Guess what? I can fucking see you. I'm gonna tell it one more time, right? To, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna do that. I do like vaginas. I think vaginas are better than penises, as far as just things in my mouth go. And, set up punches, nothing. Jesus Christ, guy in corner. All right. No, I think vaginas are beautiful. They're a lot like flowers, except it's a lot more scary when you find a bee in one. Yeah. A man with a swollen tongue told me that. He was like, "There's bees in that pussy, dude. That pussy was full of bees, man. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming, dude. I didn't see it. I was like, is it a sweet pussy? Why is this pussy so sweet?" And I was like, "Oh, it's bees and shit. It's fucking bees. It's looking crazy. Looking weird." I took my girlfriend out for dinner recently, and it was for our anniversary. And we were sitting at the table, and it was one of those nice, like, anniversary dinner-y moments. And she looked at me and she goes, "I love you so much. I just want to scream it from the top of a mountain so that the world can know." And I thought, what? Like, the top of a mountain sounds like the worst place to scream something if you want anyone to hear it at all. Like, anyone to know. You know, like, you're going to go hundreds of miles away, thousands of feet above everybody, and you're going to be like, I love, it's cold. I love how fast now. There's gonna be one goat there. He's just like, man, it's gay. He doesn't have internet. He doesn't know it's not cool to say that because there's no way of getting information up there. And I told her that. I told her that, and she goes, "All right, you got me." Anyone else hit with a belt as a kid? Anyone else hit with a belt? Yeah, hit with a belt? Yeah, you get it. Yeah, every now and again. Not all the time. Not like every morning, like, get out of bed! Not like that. It's just, it's weird. What I never understood about it is before you get hit with a belt, you know, what happened with me is, Pops would take off his belt, fold it in half, and then do that thing. Yeah, he'd bring it really close, and then snap it away. And it always, to me, looked like a mouth. When he did it, you know, like I had to sit through the shittiest puppet show of all time. A puppet show where at the end I get hit with a belt, you know? It's awful. Like he's just like, "Oh, you fucked up. Let's see what Mr. Belty has to say about this. Oh, I've been holding up pants all day. Oh, under this sweaty belly. Oh, Mr. Belty, that sounds so terrible. What a stressful day. Anything I can do to take the edge off? Oh, some boy ass would be fantastic. Oh, just to be lashed across a boy ass would be exactly what I need right now. Just an innocent Latin boy would be fantastic right now." Never got it. Never understood it. I was very dramatic, too. I'd get hit and it'd be like, "Kshaw, never tell! Kshaw, you'll never know where the remote control is! Kshaw! Ah, my people! Ksh." Actually, the first time is really scary because the first time you get hit with a belt, you don't know what's coming. You have no idea what's happening. It's just you did something and all of a sudden a grown man is like, oh, you fucked up. Oh, you fucked up. When he finally hit me, I was like, oh, thank God he's hitting me. I thought I was going to do the other thing. Cool. Cool. I had no idea where that was going. Had name, have an angry dad, not a pervy dad. That's good. That's good. My best friend in the whole entire world is a gay human being. And I've known him my whole life. And I know that he is a top. You guys know what a top is? No? Okay. He's like a pitcher, not a catcher. You get what I'm saying? Like if there's two men and they're about to, you know what I mean? Like he takes his bat and he puts it in a man's ass. He's a top. And he was telling me this story about it. He was checking out this guy at the gym. He's like, Alfonso, you don't get it, man. Like, Alfonso, this guy was carved from stone, you know? He was glistening. He had curly hair, like I like. And he was hung like a donkey. And I'm like, whoa, Neil, why do you care how big his dick is if you're not gonna be putting it anywhere, right? Like, you're a top, that's how that works, right? Right? And he goes, well, you like big titties, you're not gonna put those in your butt. And I was like, whoa, Neil, you have no idea how straight sex works. That's all it is. You find the biggest titties you can, you squish them together, tie them up with string like a roast, and you get them in there. Garlicky, buttery, straight sex. We've all had it. All of us. My favorite thing is when I get to look out into the audience and I get to see a couple who's been together for a while and you look at your man like, remember the first time I squeezed my titties together? Put them in your butt. He's like, I remember the first time you squeezed your titties together. Put them in my butt. We do what he's talking about and it's relatable. The comedy that he does. Very relatable. Very steeped in reality. The stuff that he does and talks about. But my dad's not a fan of the fact that I have a lot of gay friends because, you know, my dad, like a lot of dads, is a little homophobic, you know? And I always want to meet the one dad who's not, you know? Like, I want to see the one dad, like, show me the one dad who has 5 really successful heterosexual sons, but he's just really disappointed because he never got the one gay son that he always wanted, you know? They have an intervention. They're like, Dad, you never supported us. You never backed us in any of our endeavors. You scorned our marriages, Dad. Why, Dad, why? He's like, because you could have been a dancer. You could have been on Broadway. You could have finally won this family a Tony. A Tony, son. I tried to help you out. I set you up on so many dates. Dad, those are with guys. Those are with men. Real men. Men like you'll never be. But Dad, will you ever learn how to accept me? You don't understand, son. Gay parents are supposed to have gay kids. It's the way it works. It's the way it's always been. But Dad, you're not even gay. And I gotta live with that every day of my life. Every day of my life. Get out of here, son. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here, you goddamn pussy eater. Get out of here. And not the good kind of pussy eater like your sister. No, the worst kind of pussy eater. That makes me regret every decision I ever made in my life. I think that's all of the stand-up comedy I'm going to do for all of you. Welcome back your host, Corey Behringer. Hey.
Alfonso Portella, everybody.
Hey. Do we
please,
sit?
Please, have a seat, please.
I got stuff on my seat.
Okay, well, you could take the other seat. We provided 3 in total.
I have stage fright. This is hard to do this in front of everybody. Hold on.
Have you ever really had stage fright?
I have beforehand.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, in the sense of just before a set, or just an overall afraid of the very concept and notion of being on stage?
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Just
no.
Like the little
yeah,
before.
Yeah, just the nervousness that, Yeah, that everyone will hate me when I go on stage.
Yeah.
Just that. Yeah.
Do you feel that that sort of nervousness drives the force at all?
No.
It doesn't for
you? I
have
to fight that nervousness every single time.
Because I kind of like the nervousness.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I do. I think I like it a little bit, but it's not the driving force behind my stand-up.
I feel like I have a pretty common progression with it, where it's like immediate nervousness, and then as soon as you walk through the curtain, it's all gone.
Really?
So, yeah, it's all gone.
You forget all about it?
It's not so much that I forget, it's just like it ceases to matter. It's like, well, now I'm here, so whatever happens, happens.
Right.
But yeah, beforehand, it's like, they're going to hate me.
Oh,
They're going to not like it.
Even after
someone just groaned and confirmed my fears.
Even after I get off stage, I'm like, they're going to hate me later. They're going to think about my jokes later and go, that didn't make any sense. That goddamn monster.
How critical are you of your sets after the fact? Because I know you record like all your sets.
Yeah.
Are you pretty hypercritical, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. I'm pretty critical of them. Probably, I think I'm very critical of them, but then I don't do much to improve them later.
That was the follow-up.
Oh, that was terrible, and you will always be terrible. You're worth nothing. No, it's fine.
Done bun can't be undone.
And then I go on a long walk and whistle and kick a can.
Were you always personal with comedy? Because I noticed, like, it seems like almost an even divide of your material is what is clearly a written, for lack of a better word, fictional premise. And then there's what's clearly, like, oh, even if you embellish, like, that clearly did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a shift at all? Like, did you progress into that? Or was it always a bit of the personal? And is that even a conscious thing? Are you trying to show a little bit of yourself, but then kind of guarding some as well?
I think you hit the nail on the head, man.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. It was like, first, it's the most natural thing for me to come out and just talk about myself and my family and my life experiences and stuff like that right away, as opposed to being one of those guys who just goes, bathrooms are weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
I've never felt a connection to bathrooms or anything like that.
Yeah, you really don't do much observational.
I
feel
really.
Like the
I'm
the,
very
the first
not observant.
I feel like you're
I just like float through the world.
Yeah, your newer bit
noticing
about
nothing.
Like the you know, yelling from the mountaintop. That's like kind of the closest I've heard that's like you could call observational comedy, because it is.
I've been
it
thinking
is taking,
that about that bit. I'm like,
you know,
am I trying to sign?
No, I think
shit?
It's great. No, yeah, it works. Speaking of bits, was there any bit that you wrote that you had hoped would go over better? But I mean, we always hope that bits are going to go over good in general. But has there ever been a time that you wrote something and you didn't just hope, you knew? You, as you're writing it, just like, well, no, this is going to work. This is going to work really good. Like, this is a really good bit. And then you did it, and it wasn't just that it tanked. It was just, like, a lack of interest. Has that ever happened for you?
Well, tonight, that fucking... What happened, guys, with the burrito dick joke? That was a solid joke. I would say I had the most hope for that one-liner.
Just that one.
No, actually...
But, I mean, what I was kind of specifically getting at, was there ever a bit that you had gone through that whole process with and then abandoned because it's like, well, I guess I was wrong, because sometimes we're wrong, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's also the worst, too, because those are
because
always
Because I feel
that,
like they're the ones that you love, right?
They're the ones that I laugh at myself the
mm-hmm.
most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I had this bit about driving with, like, GPS navigation Waze.
Mm-hmm.
You know that app?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, and it like alerts you of stuff that's in the road.
I love that bit. No, you that works.
No, it never. It doesn't work.
I
like it.
I've seen you do that. And
one
it
man
work.
Likes it.
That's, it's good. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just that like, you know, you drive and it's like it's this app. What it does is it lets you know of objects in the road that might be in your way. Like, it'll say, like, police ahead, or it'll say, there's a pothole ahead, or a car stopped ahead. But it never warns me of stuff that actually distracts me while I'm driving. Like, at no point am I driving, and it goes, flashback to your childhood ahead. And you're just like, what? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, my grandpa drove that truck. Oh, no. We used to spend summers together. See? Like, it's just, you didn't laugh at it, and you requested it. It's doesn't work. So I feel kind of that way with it. But I mean, I write a lot. Like I'm thinking about bits all of the time. Yeah. And so I think that I have a pretty good gauge of what I think will work and stuff that needs work. But with Hope, the thing about Hope though is you don't necessarily have to run out of it. It's not determined for me necessarily by the audience. Like mm-hmm. I have ideas that I've been holding on to for the last like 4 years that aren't done, but I'm pretty sure we'll get there at some point. That's the hope that I have that I'll work them through, you know? Yeah. It just takes a long time. I've understood like that bit at the end of my set about the dad, you know, wanting a gay son. Yeah. Like it took me like 3 years to finish that. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time. So I'm just kind of like, that's the hope is the patience.
Yeah.
Hope is patience.
I like that. Me. That's a good sentiment.
I guess so.
I like that. Yeah. We're running a little tight on time, so I'm gonna wrap it up with that nice sentiment. You wrap it up nice.
Hope
is patience. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks, Corey.
I really appreciate it. Give it up one more time for Alfonso Portella.
Hey folks, how y'all doing? Oh my gosh, thank you all so much for sticking around, and I'm so glad to be here talking with my friend Damien, whom I've actually known passingly for a long time, because it's just to catch everybody up. You have a pretty incredible body of work. You've been in Sacramento bands for a while, most notably Speed of Sound and Seawater. But then, yeah, so you've actually been doing So Much Light for a while, but not in this iteration. So what was the transition like as you sort of developed, like, I want to produce music by myself, and then growing into I want to produce what is now So Much Light versus from how it started?
Totally. So yeah, I think I switched over to doing things solo just from being like sort of a control freak, because I grew up just making songs in my bedroom, and you know, there was never any other party's input on that. So it's kind of what I've always been accustomed to doing. And then, you know, working in a band, it's always going to be democratic unless you're being a bully about it. So like, I'm working with my friends, their input's valuable, and like, it ends up being this very different thing. It's like all of our minds collaborating into this like single brain trust. It's not going to sound like me, you know, it's going to sound like us. So I always wanted that personal outlet. And as far as transitioning from more technically based, like I call it like musicians music, because to me it was for like, you know, the guitar nerds and stuff like that, who's like
nerd, yeah.
not to disparage you, but I just started listening to a lot more like R&B and pop music. I think I started to become more impressed with production rather than like virtuosic ability. I think, you know, making a snare drum and a kick drum sound good together is just as cool as like ripping a guitar solo a lot of the time. Like something just being so irresistible that you could hear it on the radio, and like your sister, your mom, your grandma, and your dad could all hear it and, you know, clue into what it's about.
Yeah.
That's exciting to me, and it's something that I think is way more difficult to do.
On that note, something that a lot of like most pop songwriters and pop singers today, like, or in R&B, as you were saying, they don't have that virtuosity. Like Justin Bieber's not going to pick up a guitar and like rip into it like you can. So do you feel, as you're like finding new ways to express yourself, even as you have this ability that most of these people don't have, like you have this huge bedrock of musical talent, do you feel like that gives you like how do you feel like that will affect you as you move into R&B, like that kind of genre?
Totally. Yeah, I think it's definitely helpful. It like allows me to pare down sort of the technical aspects of things, like, you know, rhythmically, and you know, you're not going to be using the same like chords that are like so full bodied and like complex. Yeah, I guess it helps, but a lot of the time, you know, my instinct is way more wanky and like masturbatory than like the song needs it to be. So I just have to like kind of suppress that side of my brain in a lot of ways. I've gotten like better at doing it. It's more about like what the song needs than like what I need to be doing, if that makes any sense.
I don't want to take away from the time for you playing, but just one last question though, because this is just super exciting, is that you recently signed to Anti Records, which is a big deal. Like that's a huge deal. Like that's just a big record label. They've got some of my favorite bands on it. I'm just curious. How has that been? Like how are things changing for you? Like what's that like?
Yeah, I think I like really quickly, you know, unfortunately had to transition between these two minds of like growing up playing in a rock band, my thought was always like, oh, you have to like grind out tour after tour, build a base in like different cities, and then eventually someone hears you who's, you know, gonna put you on and like spend money on you. And then like suddenly it was like, oh, I just like sent like a cold call email and got a response from like my favorite record label, like, which I don't know. I feel like everyone gets one of those, maybe. I feel so super fortunate that that happened. It's like the most unlikely thing ever. And I think I thought things were going to change overnight. I think I thought like a lot of the work was done, and it just hasn't at all been the case. It's not like they're this angel investor who's just going to like, you know, introduce me to Justin Timberlake or Timbaland or something. Like, it doesn't work that way. And just in the interim of like completing the record and like it's finally going to come out this year, it's been done for a really long time, I realized there's a lot more I could have been doing in the meantime. And you know, it's my own dumb fault for not realizing that sooner. But
it's learning. You're getting there. It's totally new.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
Well then, yeah, well, we couldn't be more excited to see you grow into bloom and everything. We're just big fans. And with that, let's get you to it. Let's So Much Light, everybody.
Thank you. There's no way I can contain this. 1,000 followers for all the shit you're famous. Goddamn, follow me back. I still understand why become a god when you could be a brand. So am I part of your ambitious plan now that I'm part of the subscription plan? Ooh, baby, no. Tell me who they're trying to bang with. Can't keep it classy when I'm hearing so much lame shit. Oh goddamn, pencil me in, you don't understand. Do you do anything that you don't tell your friends? So tell me who you're trying to impress. Grab paper out to show me how she go confess. No goddamn. So I can talk and haircut. Can't bump it by because he's fainted for a thunder. Goddamn, pencil me in, you don't understand. Without my classic look, how can I be a fan? You've got the super tie, the French cologne, but it's hard to navigate through life by looks alone. No good man. So far, I'm stepping down, down from my soapbox. I'm coming down, getting down, getting down. I'm getting down, I'm getting down.
Play a new one. Newish.
And I can do the math in my head. Laying down, she'll be getting out of bed. Hey, I can do the math in my sleep. Count the hours keeping you from me, babe. And why's it gotta be so fucking complicated? Why've I gotta go against the way to see you smile? Why's it gotta be so fucking complicated? So simple, 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 simple how I feel. It's simple, 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 simple. Yeah, I can talk as long as you like. Wake up early just to say goodnight. And I can go as far as you need me. Just a stone's throw keeping you from me, baby, baby.
fucking complicated. Why have I gotta go against the way to see you smile? Why's it gotta be so fucking complicated? So simple, 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 simple how I feel. So simple, 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 simple how I feel. And why's it gotta be so fucking complicated? Why've I gotta go against the way I see you smile? Why's it gotta be so fucking complicated? It's simple, 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 simple how I feel. It's simple, 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 simple.
Thank you. Just got a couple more. I've got t-shirts on the back table. Scott's got some stuff back there too, if anyone's interested after the show. All my stuff's online. It's on Spotify and SoundCloud, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, LiveJournal, WordPress. You guys know, the internet, right?
Special episode. Gun you can watch with your foes. Something sentimental, anecdotal. Gonna go through the motions again. She really likes the song around that I had on the corner. Self-referential confessional. Gonna go through the motions again. I'm searching all over creation. Sweet and unseen, saccharine and masturbation. A very special episode. A message that shoved in your throat. Gonna go through the motions again. She read weaker than masturbation. I'm such an awe of a creation. Sweet and naughty, saccharine and masturbation.
Thank you. Just got one more. Thank you guys so much. Thanks to the High Anxiety Variety Show. Thank you to Naked Coffee. Is this the Naked Lounge or is this Naked Coffee? Both. It's both, right? Okay, I was like, I don't want to. Is that a big faux pas? Can't be what? Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you all so much for coming out to the High Anxiety Variety Show. One more time, please, just for yourselves and once more for So Much Light.